There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, good evening, everybody. It is a Tuesday night, and it is the 30th of October 2012, and it's about a minute or so after 8 o'clock Central Time. Central Time, 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock Central Time. The reason I'm repeating that is by next week's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, we will have changed the time. I've been warning you now for about 3 or 4 weeks, and so I wanted to make sure that you understand that we turn the clocks back in Oklahoma Sunday, November 4th. And our next show will be on the 6th of November. So it'll be 2 days into what we call standard time, because we're on daylight savings time. I'm making a big deal out about this because I don't want anybody to be brokenhearted or disappointed that they miss out on the broadcast by an hour. So we turn the clocks back here in Oklahoma. So if you're out of the country or in a different time zone, make sure that you pay attention to what the time is on Sunday, November 4th, because Sunday, November 4th, we turn the clock back. So next Tuesday night will be at 8 o'clock, but it may be 7 o'clock for some of you, or 9 o'clock. Okay. Interestingly enough, about 15 minutes before we were going to go on the air, nothing worked. I couldn't get on the internet. I couldn't get the software and the computer to work. And I was, for about a minute to 3 minutes, I thought, I don't think we're going to have a show tonight. Me and Jim might talk. We'll have some candy. Maybe we'll go to town and get ice cream. And we would just have to leave next week's show running. And then all of a sudden, I thought, well, how stupid is that? Why do I even care if we have a show? The fact that I care that we have a show, the fact that I care that things aren't going right, that's the message that we try to relay every week. So I went to the bathroom and I said, are you kidding me? How stupid is this? And I was talking to God. I said, this is crazy. If there isn't a show tonight, if things don't go right, this isn't my fault. This isn't the computer's fault or the software or the internet streamer. God, this is your fault. I laid it on his shoulders. And by the by, in a politer way, Jim will tell you, that's exactly what we're supposed to do. But I didn't even say a big flowery prayer. Oh, please, God, we love you. Glory to you. Please let us help people with the radio show. Woo! No. I said, are you kidding me? Where are you? Why are you even letting this happen? I don't care if there's a show. I don't care if the barn blows down. If there's not going to be Jim's show tonight, it's your fault, Jesus. It sure isn't mine. I'm just a poor, innocent little cowboy trying to scratch out a living in the big city. But see, as irreverent as that sounds, as disrespectful as that sounds, notice the tangibility, the conviction, the connection, the how I am so positive that this is about Jesus, that it's his quote-unquote responsibility. Could that be what's lacking in your own life? Because tonight, Jim and I, we're going to discuss connection. Because as faith and hope is the mother and father of conviction, the cause and effect of conviction is connection. Now, Jim, you witnessed this.
Yeah, I witness this all the time.
It's, and you heard me great. In the studio. I said, it's their fault.
Yeah, as far as tonight's concerned, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, it was fun. In fact, it's just another opportunity to see grace just do its thing. And, of course, the show came on. Everything worked just right. And, you know, you want to tell the rest about your springs?
No. There's a... Okay, make it real. You really want me to talk about the springs?
Yeah, because it's just, again, it just fits with this whole thing.
Well, okay, what we're talking about here is even though we're in a barn and we're on a ranch, ladies and gentlemen, we're just going to sidestep a little bit to kind of give you the idea. We're actually in a barn, metal roof, metal concrete floors, horses, cats, dust, dirt, hay, literally on the outside of the walls that make up this little room in the barn. But it's a real studio. I mean, there's the first class equipment. There's not a radio station in America that has fancier or newer equipment than Jim does and I do in this studio. And there are pedestals for the microphones that hold them in front of our face. And they're kind of arms, swing arms, kind of like. And they have springs at the joints so that you can literally hold a microphone in any position, any height, any angle that you want. Well, I've been looking for these extra springs for about a month, and I couldn't find them. And I came in with a handful of springs, and I looked at Jim, and I said, see, this is what's stupid about God, didn't I? I said, this is so stupid. I says, you know, I was upset with him about the computer and about the show not going right, so I just piled it on. And I said, well, you know, if... You know, where's the springs? You know, how come you're not helping me with the springs? And then all of a sudden, I just needed one, and I found five. Yep. Instead of one spring, I found five in a box that I had looked in, I don't know, for a month. Small box, about the size of a two-slice toaster. But this goes to having faith, having hope, and then the child of conviction, and then knowing how to cultivate conviction and have the connection of grace and be with the guys 24/7 and have all your... So, you know, this is the... You know what the stupidest thing about this whole thing is? My 195th prayer of instant answered, ask and you shall receive... Are these stupid springs?
Just like one of them was. What was the dog's name? The little wiener dog?
Leslie.
I don't want you to forget about that.
You know, I hadn't thought about that in months. Why do you even bring that stuff up?
It's just because you're making such a big deal about the springs. But I thought that was really cool. Listen, folks, this is a really good show tonight. I actually had a chance to talk about some of these things this morning at Healing School. And just to say it very lightly, I think everybody at Healing School today, we probably had about 15 people. It was a very light day, but sometimes Tuesdays are. Very interesting. I think probably everybody could say that maybe today was one of their favorite sessions, just because we recapped all the things that we've been learning over the last year, and we pretty much summarized it and came right down as we were talking about conviction and a connection with God, and the summary really, really was awesome. I think we're going to speak about some of those things tonight and share some things. And so I'll start out by just saying this. It's very, very interesting in the church world. I said something this morning. I'll paraphrase it by saying this. Over in Isaiah chapter 55, starting with verse 8 to 11, it says there, and the mouthpiece of God being the prophet Isaiah says, he said, my ways are above your ways, and my thoughts are above your thoughts. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. And then he goes into this little, these thoughts here that kind of help to paraphrase even what he was saying by saying, just like the snow falls from heaven and the rain comes down and waters the earth and brings forth and bud. In other words, it makes seeds grow and they bud and they turn into things. So that someone has something to eat. So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish what it was sent to accomplish, and it will prosper therein where I send it. And so the interesting thing is, as we were recapping, we were just making some observations that on one hand you have God's thoughts. On the other hand, you have the world's thoughts. And I wish that that's all it was. But sadly to say, we have a third category, and that is religion and traditions thoughts. And the only reason why I say that's sad is because the worst out of the three is the religion and tradition. It's when the waters become muddied that you hide things. You know, this may sound kind of sad. BJ doesn't necessarily get thrilled about golf examples. But nonetheless, he's always talking about pastures, so I'll talk about golf a little bit. You know, I have this little thing that cost me about $30 that's in my bag that literally allows me to play golf without ever really having to buy golf balls. And it's not because proverbially all I do is sit down at the ponds trying to fish out golf balls, but every once in a while I hit a ball into a pond and I take my little periscope ball retriever that folds up into less than a foot long, but it periscopes out to about 12 feet and I can snag these little balls. When the water is clear, I can get all kinds of golf balls. When the water's muddy, you can't see anything, and yet they're all there. Now, what a great example. I'm sorry I'm laughing. I just can't describe to you right now all the faces that BJ is contorting himself into. You would be really blessed. But anyhow, the comment is really good because it's the religion and tradition that muddies the water, and it covers things up. Literally, you can be a part of religion and tradition for years and absolutely think you're on the right path, you're doing everything right. In fact, you could actually have a great argument and be 100% wrong. Because religion and tradition, when it's muddy, you don't see things that you need to see. And that's the difference between what's dark and what's light. The light of the day and the darkness of night. They're so polar opposites, it's real easy to see if you're right or you're wrong. But when things are muddied, everything gets confused, and that's really what we need to begin to talk about tonight, because we want to make real clear that your conviction leads you to a connection with God. And when the lights are on and the power's flowing, there's nothing of this world that has anything to do with your life.
I had to call the police just to report a crime. It's a crime that such a beautiful ranch would be subjected to so much talk about something as ridiculous as golf.
You know, I thought maybe you'd get on that red thing over there and say something that would sound just like God interviewing us and speaking to us.
No, you had
to pull out the fire, police
I
alarm.
I know for a fact that Jesus hates golf. No, I don't. But, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, honestly, golf is a waste of good pasture. Golf is a waste of good ground for corn and soybeans. A golf course is a waste of hay ground.
I'm not even going to refute any of that.
You can't.
It's fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the Abiding Presence and Jim's mom, I apologize for all that golf talk.
Okay, go back to my illustration, though. What about the religion and tradition muddying things and covering things up?
It is because, and see, this is where people get defensive, and I understand. I mean, you know.
I do too.
people get defensive about their family and their job and their political views and their country, and they have pride, and they want to have some type of peace of mind knowing that things are as good as they can get. I get all that. That's why a lot of people are offended when we talk about what's the difference between a church and a building. But the interesting thing is when you really confront this at face value, and you write it on a piece of paper and you say it out loud, and someone asks you this question: how's that working for you?
Mm-hmm.
What evidence do you have of God's grace? Because if you're in a wheelchair, you're not walking, your shoulder hurts, your neck hurts, you have carpal tunnel, you have arthritis in your joints, and unfortunately you've been logging time, hours, years of worship.
Right.
And in your heart, you would bet everything that you know to be true, that is important, that you are a Christian and you have a connection with God. Well, they can't answer these questions when I say, why are you like this? Because you've literally just told me that you've been praying for years and you're still exactly the same. Because there is nothing in the Bible that talks about God's love, God's grace, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, Jesus, and Christ that is not about movement,
progress, yes, and success,
productivity. Something's going on. It's almost like you have all these balls on a pool table, and you hit the ball, and none of the other balls move.
In fact, when you look at so many of the stories that are individual testimonies in the gospel messages of Jesus working with people for healing, the interesting thing about it, BJ, is most of those stories show you the mathematics of this world, that there was one person in the midst of a large crowd of many people, the power of the Lord was available for everybody, and only one person got it. And so basically, you know, that's a very good point to make to show us that in the midst of all of what we would call Christianity and religion, how many people are actually experiencing the fullness or even a part of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ? And the answer is very, very low. And that's something that we're committed to on this program, to helping people, is to pull back the shades, to get rid of the fog or the muddiness of the water, make things clear so people can begin to see and make connections.
Every once in a while, someone says, why do you slam organized religion? Why do you beat it up so bad? Why do you always hammer home the difference between a building and a church? Why do you always talk about people that they think they're praying and they're not? And I say, because if you don't know it's wrong, if you don't know that you have another choice, if you don't know that there's opportunity for change, how in the name of good gravy are you supposed to figure that out?
Right.
I mean, if nobody tells you when you make scrambled eggs for breakfast that you're not supposed to put the shell in the bowl when you mix up the eggs to make scrambled eggs, if nobody ever points that out to you, how would you supposed to know that you're not supposed to eat the shell?
Right.
How would you figure that out? But if somebody says, you know why you don't feel good? You know why you're going to the bathroom like a goose eating kernels of corn? Because you're not supposed to put the eggshells in the bowl when you stir the egg up to make... Well, and you'd say, I'm so glad you told me, because now I have a choice to make.
Well, the proof in what you're saying is right there in the eating of the pudding, so to speak. Because I travel around the country, and as I'm talking to different people, people are saying the same thing everywhere. We've not been able to get this to work. How long have you been working on that? For years and years. How long have you been going to this particular, services that you're having? Well, for years and years and years.
My whole life.
Right, my whole life.
My mom and dad went here.
That story right there is repeatable everywhere I go for the majority of the people that are there. And like tonight, for instance, I just got a text message from the pastor of our church. In fact, we got an email, didn't we? Can you help us with where I was last week? Because somebody wanted to make sure that we didn't butcher the town of where I preached last week.
This comes from Walter Honeycutt. It says, I enjoyed the show. First time listener.
Thank you, Walter.
First time hearing Jim at Cornerstone Family Church. And that's in Fuquay, Varina, North Carolina. He said, in fact, teach us a lot. I said, he did, in fact, teach us a lot about grace. I would like to return a small favor. I would like to help Jim from messing up the town name a little less. The name is best using Hooked on Phonics method. Fuquay, Varina. If you say it quickly, it will come out almost correctly.
Fuquay, Varina.
God bless, and we really did enjoy the time we were with us. Walter Honeycutt, and it says, also known as the dad of the girl on the pink crutches and injured ankles. Now, okay, the only reason this is a problem, Jim, is because this is the way you read an email. I would have said, this is Walter Honeycutt, and he listened to you at the Cornerstone Family Church when you were in North Carolina. See, you just don't mention the town.
Right.
You mention the state.
Right.
And you just say the Cornerstone Church in North Carolina.
That's right.
And I did the same thing from Fred in Germany. I did the same. Fred, we haven't heard from you in a while. We hope you're okay, by the way. So, Fred, give us a heads up. Let us know everything's good in Germany. But that would be the same thing. But see, this goes to people's connection with Christ. It's easier to say Cornerstone Family Church, North Carolina, than it is to say Family Church in Fuquay, Varina, North Carolina. Well, it's easier for a building and a religious organization to say God is good, God is great, you've been saved, and someday you'll have God's salvation, and it's wonderful to be a Christian, because if they broad stroke it and they step over the fine print, then it sounds good and it is good. Because if they slow down and talk about the fine print of Scripture, then all of a sudden someone's going to say, okay, I get that. God is good, God is great, and it's nice to be here, but where's the
right.
love?
Right.
Where's the grace?
Right.
Where's the infinite wisdom of grace to be in my life and make a profound difference? Because I'm reading about it, and you're telling me that it's mine and that Jesus paid for it and it's a gift, but I don't see it anywhere and I don't have it. And why is that?
You know, people that I'm talking to on a regular basis since we've been sharing these things, and of course this, we're just starting out slow here and getting into some things, but I've had countless amount of testimonies as to the fun that people are having by acknowledging God's grace and seeing God work in small little areas of their lives as well as large areas of their life. And this has been really exciting. In fact, some of the meetings that I'm doing on the Wednesday night, and BJ will probably say some more about that a little bit later as an announcement, but we started some Wednesday night services. And in those services, the funnest thing about this is, and this is something I know to be true from the Scriptures, over in Hebrews in chapter 4, where it says that in verse 12, that the Word of God is alive and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I've shared with people that the more accurate I can be as a minister, the more we'll see people experience knowledge and understanding of knowing what is of the spirit and what is of the flesh. They'll understand the thoughts and intents of their heart. And they'll even have their bodies healed while we're preaching. And so the last couple of sessions that we've had, that's been the most wonderful thing, is we're getting testimonies of people that are sitting there listening and being healed. Grace is working on many, many different levels at all times. So tonight, I want to share something here with regard to a story that we've heard. And we've actually kind of, I won't say picked this story apart, but we've certainly applied ourselves to it in a multiple of different ways. And it's the story with the woman with the issue of blood. BJ, I think this is a great way to talk about conviction and connection, because it's as real as you can get, don't you think? It's a good story for this.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think they're all good stories, and I think this one kind of hammer homes the point about hearing something for a long time, but really not doing anything with the information. Not really what I like to call, okay, you have a driver's license, but you're not driving.
Right.
And you take great pride in your driver's license, and you cherish your driver's license, but you don't have a car.
Yeah.
But yet you love hearing stories about cars, and you watch television shows, and you read books about garages and all the stuff you can do with your car. But yet you don't have one, and all you have is a driver's license. And that goes to what? Productivity, advancement, movement, forward locomotion, evolving.
Yes.
And always changing.
Yes.
Because if you read scripture, everywhere it talks about how people's relationship with God is individual, and some, for lack of a better word, will go 80 miles an hour and go 1,000 miles, and some will go 5 miles an hour and go 100 miles. But it's their choice.
Yep.
And both of them are doing exactly the same thing. They're enjoying grace, they're using it, and there's productivity. The only place in Scripture that it talks about someone who has been saved and who is striving to have a relationship with God is someone that doesn't do anything with the relationship with God.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in on that for a second here before we get to Mark chapter 5 so people know where we're headed. But I'm going to share this as a minister. You know, it's not so much I'm getting all of my information when I go to a service on a Sunday. This is my job. This is what I do. I'm studying. I'm in the Word of God. I'm in prayer, and I'm fellowshipping with God, and I'm getting things for people and learning and growing and developing. Well, let me share this as a testimony to what BJ just said. None of the information that God has given me, the revelation that I have, came just on its own. It all came in great waves based on me coming to the realization that something's wrong, we're not seeing things as what they should be, and things need to change, and I'm the problem. God, fix me. And that has always been the equation for me to receive really good revelation. And that, my friends, is the reason why we don't hold back from talking about a church in a building. It's not to discourage anybody. It's to help people be able to guard their heart. Because like BJ said, there's a truth to this. Until you see that what you're experiencing is not helping you like you ought. Now, here's the other thought. On the other hand, we're not just trying to be negative here. What about if we're describing a church in a building and you can say with joy in your heart, well, I'm going to a church. I am advancing. The pastor here is preaching things that's causing us all to receive testimonies. We're having greater relationships with God. As we testify and we give witness, we're experiencing healings, not just one or two. People are being healed all over the room. In fact, there's hardly anybody any longer in our services that needs healing except a visitor, because we're all getting it. We're receiving these things. Things are changing in our life. Well, then you should be excited about hearing us talk about the difference between a church and a building, because it helps to validate the fact that you're experiencing something that's correct, that's on target. But if you're not, and you're like some of the emails that we get, that people testify to the years of complacency and stagnation, where you're going basically backwards and things are getting worse, not better, and yet you're trying so hard, well, you have to stop. You have to assess what's going on accurately. And that's why I shared with you my own personal testimony. It's when you do that, that grace has the freedom, when you open your heart, to begin to show you truth. And that's one of the reasons why we continue to bring people to an understanding of what is and what isn't. All right, we're going to come back over here to Mark in chapter 5. BJ, I want to just read this briefly, and then let's comment about conviction and connection. It says here in verse 25, a woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. She suffered many things from many physicians. She spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. But when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And of course, the disciples said, the multitude's thronging you. Why would you say, who touched me? And Jesus looked around to see her who had done this thing. The woman, fearing and trembling, came and told him the whole truth. And Jesus then said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Let's talk about this.
Okay. In modern times, on this ranch, in this barn, on the 30th of October, 2012, and folks, wherever you are in yourself right now on this Tuesday night, and for all the people who listen to the show on the when it streams 24/7, we want to say thanks and hello to you. We know you're there listening. This is what Jesus was acknowledging. He wasn't acknowledging his power. He wasn't acknowledging the power of his Father, Christ. What he was talking about was, I recognized the connection.
Yeah.
I recognized the relationship of conviction turning into connection. Because the woman had hope, she had faith. The child of that union is a conviction. And the offspring of that, the baby brother or sister or first cousin, whatever you want to say, or the family dog, is connection. This is what Jesus, think of it this way. If all the walls in your house were see-through plastic, you could see every plumbing pipe, every wire, every bug, every mouse, all those 2x4s, insulation, everything was see-through in your house. Every time it was dark in a room and you flipped that light switch on and off, there would be a momentary flash. And that would be the connection of the electricity being stopped and allowed to flow freely through the wire to the light in the ceiling, to the ceiling fan. Because there has been a connection. And so this particular story in the Bible, and when Jesus talks about it, he's talking about that. He's talking about when you know where the light switch is, when you believe what the light switch is going to do, and when you flip the switch, he's talking about the connection. Think of it. He said, I don't know who that was. I don't know what it was about. All I know is someone touched my robe and there was the connection of grace to a Christian.
Right.
That's what he's talking about. Now, let's talk about this connection. Because if you don't have conviction, if you don't have commitment, if you're not really a spirit being trying to live a Christian spirit's life, how is it even possible to find a connection, let alone take advantage of it? You're literally putting the cart before the horse. It really doesn't make any sense to go buy $1,000 worth of food and pots and pans if you don't even have a refrigerator or stove or a kitchen or cabinets or refrigerator, freezer to store the food in. Pete, you'd say, I'm a cook. I'm a chef. I have all the food and cookware to say I am. Well, first thing somebody's going to do is say, where's your kitchen? Where's the stove? Where's right. the appliances? Well, that means where's the progress? Where is the ability to produce? Where can you cook? Where can you cook and create something edible? Where is the steps? Where is the logical step one, step two, step three, step four in this? Now apply this to Christianity. It's really wonderful that you believe in God. It's fantastic that you've been saved. I think it's very heartfelt, warming when you've been baptized and you have communion and you worship. But if you're not feeling good, if life is beating you down instead of you standing victorious and enjoying your life, then obviously step one, step two, step three, step four is not what you're applying to your relationship with God.
Yeah, I look at this woman and I think of, because it really fits in what you're saying, I look at this woman and it says that she was 12 years in a bad situation and she got worse and worse and worse. And that sounds like so many people that I've actually preached to over years and years and years of ministry. Well, look at what is taking place in this story here. She's not getting any better. She's basically lost all hope. And it says here, for when she heard about Jesus, and that's the turning point of this whole thing. She heard something, or she was around somebody, and even the sound of their voice that had so much excitement to it drew her to something that was exciting. Think about what you're hearing in this show and the shows that we've had that have helped to bring you to an understanding of God's grace. It's like it's music to your ear. You're hearing something that's beginning to help you to see, you know what, I can experience this. I can experience God's grace every single day, multiple times a day, acknowledging that God is working in my life, that I'm not alone, that I'm not forsaken, that things don't have to be and remain the same way that they are. Well, that's where this woman was. And when she heard about Jesus, you know what she had to have heard. This person that's passing by, what's the commotion about? Well, that's Jesus of Nazareth. He's healing all kinds of people. Some people say he's a prophet. Some people say he's the Messiah. All kinds of wonderful things are taking place. Well, immediately hope and faith arose in this woman, and the conviction was seen in that she crossed the street. And basically, you could say it was the point of no return. That's her conviction. When she came close to Jesus, the next part of her conviction is that there was a crowd. And it says she came behind in the press. And what that means is she had to elbow her way through. She had to move people. She had to move around folks and get down on the ground and crawl around people because she saw the center of the crowd, but she couldn't get there. Now, she's weak. She had many opportunities to give up, but her conviction would hold her steadfast. And that's the whole reason why the disciples were so amazed when Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Because everybody was touching him. And there's your math. One person drew the attention of Jesus, or you could say, caused power, that spark in the electrical line, to flow.
Yeah, you're right. It was one person that got Jesus' attention, but another way to look at it is from a Christian standpoint, from a spiritual. I think I would say it as if, well, it was easy for him to identify it because it was the only person that had conviction that made a connection.
It's the only time he had a connection the whole time he was walking.
It's like, this is true no matter what you are, whether you're a carpenter, a plumber, electrician, an accountant, a cook, a carpet layer, a farmer, rancher, a horse person, cattleman, whatever, or a golfer. Within 3 or 4 minutes of meeting someone and talking with them, you know whether they're full of themselves or if they really know what they're doing.
Right, right.
I mean, if a bunch of women are scrapbooking and they're doing needlepoint or they're making quilts,
you can feel it.
And they meet somebody new, they just kind of look at each other and smile and kind of nod their head because they know that this woman doesn't know anything about needlepoint and quilting and stuff.
Right, or the opposite. They
exactly.
can tell they know everything.
And it's like I always tell people, they'll say, "Look, there's a cowboy." I go, "That's not a cowboy." I said, that guy isn't even, I says, that guy doesn't know the difference between a butter bean and a bale of hay to save his life. And they'll say, well, how do you know? And I'll say, because it shows. And so that's what Jesus was saying.
Yeah.
They said, well, all kinds of people are touching you.
Right.
And he said, but only one was a Christian. And only one had a spiritual connection with my Father. The spark. That connection that you get with conviction.
Right.
Because if you're saying, I want that spark, I want to feel that connection, well, then it's a very sobering question. It takes your breath away and you may cry.
Right.
Because you'll say, I don't have conviction. I'm not connected with God. I thought I was. And I thought everybody in my prayer group was. I thought the place where I worshiped was. And you start doing this accountability. And you start doing this spiritual assessment of things. And it's a very harsh thing. But here's the deal. Until you know what's wrong,
right,
until you know what doesn't work, how could you possibly have a choice? Because it's all about choice. Because, as I like to say, Jesus, when Christ said, all your sins are forgiven, what he was really saying is, all your choices are forgiven.
Right.
Because to repent means to change. And if all your choices are forgiven and repent means change, you put those two together and it says, okay, you've been choosing wrongly. You can choose correctly anytime. And then you add in, all your prayers will be answered. And you think, oh my gosh, that makes sense.
Right.
Step one.
Right.
Choose, all your bad choices are forgiven. Step two, repent. Choose correctly. Step three, ask and you shall receive. It's in, Jim, back this up. It's in the Bible about this stuff.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's over in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, where it says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door shall be opened. It says, to everyone who asks, they shall receive. To everyone who seeks, they shall find. To him that knocks, the door shall be open. Yeah, it's all over in Scripture. In fact, all of these stories are saying the same thing. I really do like, and I trust that you're getting this tonight, that you'll enjoy this as well. I really like the fact, do you see that Jesus first acknowledged the connection? He said, who touched me? Why? For power had gone out of him. Jesus knew that power had gone out, and the woman knew that power had come in.
Let's back this up, and let's start at the very beginning, the Garden of Eden, with the book of Genesis.
Okay.
They walked with God.
Right.
They were with Christ. Adam and Eve were with Christ 24 hours, 7 days a week. He was there. Wherever they were, Christ was there. That is a continual 24/7 connection. Who interrupted the connection? Not God, not grace, not the Holy Spirit. Man did. Human
Correct.
Beings.
Correct.
They chose worldly choices over spiritual choices.
And they knew when they didn't have a connection.
Yes. And God said, if this is the way you're going to choose.
Polar opposite.
This is cause and effect.
Right, it is.
Now, think about that, what we're talking about tonight. Now, I want you to take a moment, folks. We're gonna slow down for just about 25, 30 seconds here. Because we're giving you something that may just be rocking your world a little bit. Some of you might be shaken. Some of you might be looking for Kleenex to blow your nose. And others, you may be mad or frustrated that you feel that you've been cheated or lied to. And it doesn't matter. The point is, now you know. Now you have some information that'll help you choose. And while you're digesting this, I want to cheer you up a little bit. And I want to give you some extremely exciting news. Finally, after months of talking about it, all of Jim's shows are on the Abiding Presence website. You go to the Listen to the Show page. On the very bottom of the show page, you'll see in big blue bold letters, Show Archive. for free. 24 hours, 7 days a week, you can go back and listen to every single show that Jim has ever had. You'll see a couple of blank spaces, and it explains what occurred, but all the shows that are possible to hear are on there, and there are 50-something shows, and we are up to date, and it's going to stay that way, because as soon as this broadcast is over, and I have it up and streaming, I'm going to email a copy of tonight's show, and tomorrow it will be on that archives page as ever. We finally got it done, Jim.
Yeah, that's really, really great, and I think there's a lot of folks that are going to look at this as a means of filling up their week with different shows.
I think the people that have only been listening for a little while, first time, or maybe for a month or two, they'll be able to go back to 2011, and they'll be listening to these shows. And I want to warn you, there is a very similar message in all 50-something shows on the archive. You're going to notice a theme that we're not talking in circles, but we really don't say a lot of difference, because there's only one path to God when you talk spiritually, when you talk about faith, hope, conviction, and connection. It is 1, 2, 3, 4. It's a step process. And you're going to listen to all these shows, tonight's show, last week's show, 6 months ago show. And all these are going to be like breadcrumbs that are going to help to get you centered and get you going. And I think it's great.
Yeah, I do too. I'm real excited about it. I think everyone, you'll find yourself real
blessed.
I
want you to give them, I'm always the one giving them homework assignments. I want you to ask them a question. I want you to ask them a spiritual connection. What's wrong with this picture? Have you got a question like that?
Yeah, I do. And here, let's see. I had it written down. All right. What would you call? This is something that you can email in at and help us and just give us your thoughts on this. Because here comes the idea here, and it comes from. Oh, we were talking a little while back, and it's really, really good here. Okay. All right, I've got it right now. Here it is. What do you think spiritual life is made up of? And I want your answer to this. I'll say it again. What do you think spiritual life is comprised of or made up of? What is it to you? Spiritual life. And I want to see what your answers are. And if you want to throw those on an email, why don't you send them in to us right now? Because that really is going to help us to be able to just kind of integrate that into what we're talking about tonight.
Yeah, if someone email us, and speaking of helping us and helping you, I'm not sure if it'll be next week, but before long, a lot sooner than the archive shows, I want to say within a couple of weeks, we're adding a new technology to the barn that you'll be able to take advantage of on Jim's show, and that is instant high-speed text messaging. I've got a new phone number. I've got software that we're going to be loading up in the studio computer. I'm buying a big monitor. We'll have a big flat-screen TV monitor. I mean, your text messages will show up like a billboard, and you will be able to instantly text message comments and questions, which is 5 times faster than email. And so we're making it easier for you to have a connection to the show. But right now, email us and think about what Jim's statement, his question, says. And while you're doing that, I want to read you this particular email. Comes from Jessica. It says, "Hi, Jim and BJ. My name is Jessica. I listen and love your messages. Just wanted you to know. Yes, I laugh and chuckle at you guys all the time. Keep up the great, great messages. People really need them." You know, we asked a question last week. I said, I wonder if we just crack each other up, you know, if anybody else smiles.
That was nice that she responded that way.
Well, it was, because we haven't received anything. So I thought, you know what?
Yeah.
People must just think we're idiots. Or they just think, why are those guys having fun? Because I'm not having fun.
Right.
You know, I've always thought, I wonder if anybody laughs. And, you know, the other thing I've always wondered is, The only person that seems to send us any email, positive or negative, about Ranger, my dog, barking on the show, is your mom.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, I just wonder if other people's dogs go crazy when they hear Ranger bark on the show, if they don't like it, or if they, you know, if they, I mean, you know, there's a lot of questions because we don't know.
No.
And, but now, your question that you asked, I want you to repeat that. And thank you, Jessica, by the way. I want you to repeat that. And then, isn't there something that you can tie that to Scripture as to why that is a question that you're asking? I mean, isn't there places in Scripture that kind of refer to what you're asking and how important it is for the connection and to, well, and to evaluate your relationship?
Yes, I'll read to you right now something I have pulled up. I believe you'll find it to be really appropriate. Okay, it's
I hope so.
John chapter 15 and starts in verse 4 through verse 8, and it's in the Message Bible. It says, "Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you're joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood gathered up and thrown in the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is, when you produce grapes, when you mature as disciples."
See, what's real interesting there is, what is he talking about, the vine and the branches?
That's the whole
connection.
Thing. It is. It's
the
all connection. And that's the very thing. I want to share this with you here just briefly, and then we'll stay on point with this. But you know, this is the sad thing to me. As I'm beginning to continue to mature myself and experience God in greater measures and ways, and just really have a great appreciation for him throughout the day. Okay, when people are born again, the experience of receiving Christ should be receiving or experiencing him, not just metaphorically receiving Christ, but really experiencing God. And in those very few moments of excitement, of knowing that God loved you so much that he would send you a Savior, and that your life doesn't have to be the way that it was, and that you can receive Jesus into your heart and know that you are saved, that there is a change in your life, and now you look forward to experiencing that change. In those brief few moments where it seems so innocent, if you're taught to continue to be excited because you can experience God, if you're shown the testimonies of others who are mature, who are experiencing God, literally the sky is the limit to how far you can go. So then, what's the opposite of that? Being saved in the midst of religious people who don't ever really experience God, who have no testimonies, who are walking around saying things but not experiencing them, who have actually become, so to speak, you could say, convinced that it's okay to not receive answers. Because as a group, hardly anybody does. In fact, it was Brother So-and-so that was special because God touched him in a special way that received. Folks, if this is at all kind of coming right down to where you live, in other words, you recognize the scenario that I'm presenting to you, then think of the chance that that person in his innocence who received Jesus has of experiencing God.
Yeah.
Not a very good chance at all, BJ. They don't know that when Jesus says, "I'm living in you and you're living in me and connected where a vine is to the branch," a connection. And it says right here, it's intimate and organic. And it says the harvest is sure to be abundant. In other words, you can't help but have results.
No, because see, that's why that is the difference between a building and a church, and the difference between worshiping God and worshiping religion, because they have to talk in circles. They have to keep you coming back and serving up the same thing, because that's all it can be. Because there is only one connection. And right. And anything else is contrived and manipulated and ends up going nowhere and does not satisfy the thirst of the spirit to have a relationship with Christ.
Right. And this is where I want to interject this, because I said this morning and I know it really hit home, and that was this. You know, our idea of worship is to come in the midst of a group of people and music to be playing and all of us to begin to become very God-minded, which is always good. That's good. And to sing songs that are about loving Him and appreciating what He's done for us. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
To lift our hands in showing reverence to God, that we believe He's there, He's in the room. But now I want to present something to you, and this may be difficult, but I want you to listen and hear me out, please. That in itself is wonderful. But to literally have that experience, turn around and deny the grace of God and the power that we say and in our worship time, in our songs, that is present, and deny that, the opportunity to bring testimony to our bodies, to our lives, to our marriages, to our homes, is then to turn around as though it's not real what we just got through singing about.
Yeah, it really.
And BJ, that's no longer a worship service. That's just singing songs.
Yeah, that's the difference between doctrine and spiritual.
And something spiritual that's real. And that's exactly what this scripture is saying. That's why I wanted to ask that question. How do you view spiritual life?
Yeah, I really hope we do get an email. And you don't. And for you people who listen to the 24-hour, 7-day stream between now and next Tuesday night, November 6th, when we start an hour earlier because of the time change, hint, 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 please feel free to go ahead and send an email over the next 7 days, because we're real curious to see what response we get. In a couple of weeks, you'll be able to do that instantly with your cell phones with text messaging to the show, which will be fun, and we'll make sure that we give you the number and everything. And thanks to Chris Love and Love's Creative Designs for getting the archive page up and cranking.
Yeah.
Folks, I want you to consider something. Why not consider a change? I mean, there's an old saying that I like to use on the ranch. If it works, don't fix it. If things are going good, don't mess with it. Leave it alone. Okay. Now, let's kind of have a play on words here, semantics. If your relationship with Christ, if your spirit connection with Jesus, if your Christianity isn't productive, isn't working, then instead of the cute little phrase, if it's working, don't try to fix it, if it works, don't fix it, well, if it isn't working, why not fix it? Why not try a different direction? Why not have an open heart and an open mind and say, maybe? What if? Because when you have that open mind, when you say, possibly, now what are you doing? You're repenting. You're humbling yourself. You're literally admitting that it's not in my hands, it's in God's hands. It's not for my choice, because I choose God and grace will choose for me. It talks about this and how that's what you're supposed to do. So why not? I mean, honestly, can someone email me or tell me why they wouldn't want to have an open mind and say, why not? Why not try something new? Why not try something different? What? Because the only thing you have to lose is the disconnect from God.
Yeah.
The only thing you're going to leave behind is your flesh in the world. I can't see, Jim, why that wouldn't be worth a shot, worth a risk. I mean,
well,
honestly.
The only thing, I shared some of these thoughts, and I'm glad that I did this morning because it's really helping me to stay more on point with some things that I've already talked about this. But, you know, here's one of the things that we've done in fact, this is a good time to just mention. I'll go ahead and mention it. But on Wednesdays, we've started a Bible study at the Hardesty Library.
Yeah, talk about that.
And that is actually at 7 o'clock at night, p.m., and it goes till 8 o'clock. Actually, we have to be out of the building quickly, so we don't usually go over, if at all, maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, very max. And it's at the Hardesty Library. We have a room that seats 70 people, and we've got, I think, close to about 60 people coming now, so you're more than welcome to come out. Ranger may come the next time. And
she likes books.
She does.
Yeah.
And so at this Bible study, here's what we've done. And I want to share two things about this because they really work hand in hand. What we've done is that the path that we've taken is to spend a little bit of time. I mean, we've had 5 sessions so far and we're getting ready for our 6th. We've spent a little bit of time talking about and bringing great separation between that which is of the flesh and that which is of the spirit. You do remember that Jesus, talking with Nicodemus, said, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which begets or is born of spirit is spirit." And you remember Jesus also talking to the woman at the well in John chapter 4 said, "God is spirit, and they that worship God must worship in spirit and truth." You see, it's from your spirit that you have communion with God. That's the thing that you are protecting in this life from the world. It's your heart. Protecting your heart so that it remains steadfast to God. Think of it this way. If you've given your heart to someone in a marriage, you've given your heart, then it's your responsibility to protect your heart from your heart ever wandering and going to someone else. You have that fiduciary responsibility because you're in a marriage. There's a contract. You have someone else involved. Keep your heart fixed on your partner, your wife, on your spouse. Why? Because that's responsibility. The same thing is true spiritually. We're keeping our heart fixed on God. And we're guarding our heart from wandering around in the world. Well, we've spent a bunch of time on this. And the reason why it's so important, and I'm going to give you this example. I was talking with some individuals. In fact, most of them were ministers. And as we were talking about the message of grace, the phrase, "the finished work of Jesus," kept coming up over and over and over again. And BJ, this is how it would come up. Well, it's all about the finished work of Jesus. You just got to preach the finished work of Jesus because it is the gospel, the finished work of Jesus. Now, I stopped in the middle of all that and I said, okay, but where's that going?
Yeah, what do you get for that?
Right, exactly. Where's that going?
Yeah.
Because the finished work of Jesus is an absolute. It's done, folks. How many times do you need to know it's finished? It's done. So what does that do for you? Well, what it does for you, it opens heaven so you can have this most amazing regular experience with God. We're having a reality check,
right,
on the real world, and God now brings you into an everyday regular connection.
Like people joke around and say, well, this would be in the BJ Bible, is what I'm talking about is that, you've got a high school diploma. What are you doing with it? You got a college degree. What are you doing with your college degree?
Right.
You know how to cook. What have you been cooking? You learn how to use a hammer and a saw and nails and glue. What kind of construction projects are you doing? You learn how to garden. Really? What are you growing?
Right.
What's your harvest?
Right.
Everything other than organized religion in a building screams and literally force feeds the message that now you know, go use it.
Right. In fact,
be creative. The only thing that doesn't is organized religion.
Right.
They don't talk about that.
Well, what's so necessary for every person's walk with God is to have this connection become vibrant and alive. See if this makes sense here of what we've talked about here tonight. Where there's multiple power lines?
Yeah.
You've got it's almost like a tree and it has multiple up and down.
Right, right.
If you're to live near that, you're going to hear a constant hum.
Yeah, those big towers, yeah.
A constant hum. It's in the wires.
Right. You can hear the electricity flowing.
Exactly. If we talked about the runway bunnies, remember how we talked about at the airport?
Yep, the runway bunnies. Is that a theory?
Yes.
Or is that a consideration?
No, it's a consideration. I'm pretty sure.
I'm going to look.
Pull that up.
I'll look.
But
sir. I'll get right on that, sir.
Very good. Man, this is great. We're going through training.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Okay. I knew you'd enjoy that. Okay. Listen to the way that this goes, though. If you were to had a house underneath all those wires, then in your life, all you would know is a constant hum. The only time you would think something was wrong is if it was quiet. In fact, you'd run outside to see if a transformer was hit, because all of a sudden there's no hum.
Or what you'd say is, you know what, the power lines aren't making any noise. Oh, somebody's doesn't have electricity.
There you go. And that is a Christian life, where all you know is it's constantly on. There's a hum. There's electricity. There's a connection.
Yeah.
And if for any reason you don't hear that hum or you don't feel that connection, you ought to immediately say, hey, wait, something's wrong here.
It is a theory, folks, and for you people that haven't listened to the show very long, if you go to the abidingpresence.com website and you'll left-click on theories and you scroll down, it's called the Runway Bunny Theory. It is a theory. Read that, and you'll see what we're talking about. And just to give you a little perspective is that there are rabbits that live on international airports, big town city airports, because they have acres and acres of grass that separate the different runways. Well, there's gophers, there's rabbits, there's insects, there's birds. Well, over years of jet airplanes taking off, they lose their hearing. And that's all they know. So that if you take them away from that, they would just assume that the whole world is quiet, is because that's all they know. Yes. And so read that theory, and it'll help understand what we're doing on tonight's show. And the great thing about the archives being up and running is that we've referred to theories before. We've referred to the letters that you and I write, the letters for your consideration. And now with the archives, it really means that the show is becoming more interactive. And then when we add the text messaging, oh my gosh.
Yeah, we're gonna find it'll be more and more fun. Well, what we're describing here is a new way of thinking. Because instead of living where you don't ever hear a hum, where you're just caught up in what's going on around you, and there's no connection. And when you need a connection, you're desperately trying to get one, and really, you're actually putting out so much effort to try to get one, you're actually not having one. If that makes sense. What I'm saying by that in layman's terms is you're over-trying. You're trying too hard. All my life, that has been something I've had to be careful of. When I played sports, people would say, relax, you're trying so hard. And you know, it was when I relaxed that I always did my very best. The same thing is true. That's why Jesus came to give us his peace. He said that over in John 14. He said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives you, do I give unto you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The thing that's amazing about the peace of the Lord is you lose all fear because you don't care anymore. And when you don't care anymore, it goes right back to what happened with our show tonight when BJ's having difficulty pulling up the show. And literally what he was saying was, I don't care. It's not on me. It's on you, Lord. And the moment he cast the care off, where he's not about to even fret about it, it's on you. bam, just like that, there's a connection. Why? Because when your heart is free, it's able to connect naturally. You don't have to work at it. BJ, is there anything that you can comment about right here? Because I really believe I'm saying something that's extremely accurate. I want to get people to begin to see this as their new normal.
Yeah, I want to just comment on the point where you talk about a new way of living, because it's also a new way of worshiping. It's a more accurate way of participating in the world of God. It's a new way of enjoying the ability to really understand and really have fun with Christianity, to really see it working in your life, to feel it in your heart.
Yes.
You know, to have the arguments like I do.
Yes.
You know, to sit and say, I can't believe my 195th instant prayer was about stupid springs for microphone stands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you feel relaxed, and every day is great, and it's like you're so free that it's, you almost feel like you're on a vacation. That you don't have a care in the world, you sleep good, everything you eat tastes good, you're always in a good mood, and grace starts to protect you from other people's dramas and phone calls that upset you that have nothing to do with you at all, and before you know it, just one thing after another disappears, and at the same time, one thing after another does appear.
Appear, yeah.
Because when you get rid of the world, you leave room for heaven.
Yes.
When you get rid of the flesh, you make room for the spirit.
Yep.
And when you get rid of drama and issues and doctrine and religion, you literally open up the floodgates for grace and scripture.
That's excellent. Yep.
Really, that was really good. Pretty good, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, perfect.
Well, I don't know about perfect, but it was pretty good.
It was good.
I hope they like it. Okay, folks, I want you to consider this, what we're saying to you, and how this does affect you. Does this make sense? Are we confusing you? Do you agree? Do you disagree? We want to know. And we'll have instant text messaging in a couple weeks for that. Right now we have emails, and the email is just all one word, no capitals, the abiding presence, no spaces, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. Let us know that you're out there. Jim, I want to ask you a question. Somewhere in, I want you to find it in the King James Version, and then I want you to read it in that other version.
Okay.
That kind of makes it more
right.
Every day. What's
right.
That called?
The Message Bible.
Okay. And I want you to find a piece of scripture that talks about choice, that talks about how there is a choice to be made, and how you're really not doing yourself any good when you don't make any choice at all. There's got to be something about that somewhere that refers to that. Because I think it would help people. I like what we're saying, and I always like every show, but I also like the fact when you can dig up something in the Bible for people to chew on themselves, so they know that we're just not pulling this out of thin air, that everything is of a spiritual scripture nature. I think that, folks, as Jim is looking that up, think about some of the daily choices that you make, because it's real interesting when he says all your sins are forgiven. Because if you put a word in there instead of sins or sin or sinning, put in the word choose, choice, choosing, chosen. All your choices are forgiven. What you're choosing is forgiven. What you have chosen is forgiven. What you're about to choose is forgiven. And it talks about that. If you're thinking about doing something, pluck your eye out. If you're thinking about doing something wrong with your hand, cut your hand off. If you're thinking about saying something bad, cut your tongue off. What he's saying so absolutely and harshly is that your existence doesn't have to do with your eye, your tongue, or your hand. It has to do with your spirit. And that what you do with your body and the thoughts that you create have a direct correlation on the health of your spirit and whether you have a connection. Because if you're disconnected from Christ, that means you're disconnected from your spirit, from your true self. How could you have grace in your life? How could you enjoy it? How in the world could it do anything for you? I don't see how it can. It hasn't for me. The more I choose God, the more I recognize grace, the better my life gets. The easier it is. The simpler it is. And before you know it, somebody will say, well, I can't believe you don't care about this. And I go, why would I care about it? Well, because this is important. And I go, no. No, it really doesn't matter to me. And then they'll say, why not? And I'll say, well, because it's not my place. It's God's place. And sometimes they kind of roll their eyes and they go, oh yeah, I forgot. You're saved now. You're a Christian now. And then I say, well, I'm having a good day and you're not. And the only difference between your day and my day is about the Christian message and the Christian life, and yours may not be. That's about choice, choosing. What do you do? Because it's one thing to be saved. It's one thing to be baptized. It's one thing to worship. It's one thing to do all these things. And those are nice things. They are important things. But where do they go? Does it make much sense to mow your grass really short in your backyard, rake up the grass, spray for weeds, buy a garden hose, buy a shovel, a rake, a hoe, and rent a rototiller and plow that dirt up so you can get it nice and soft, and go buy the best garden seeds you can, and you plant all kinds of seeds in your garden, and you water the dirt, and you hoe the farrows, the rows, and you pick all the little grass out when it just comes up, and you've done everything right, and you got string and sticks and stakes, and you got the empty seed packets on the end of the rows on a stick so that you know what's on that row. Does it make any sense to go through all that if it doesn't grow you anything to eat? If nothing ever sprouts, if the seeds just lay dormant in the soil. Because are you a gardener? Are you gardening? Are you actually growing something until you have something to pluck off of the vine, rinse off in the kitchen sink, and make a salad out of it, or cook it, can it, boil it, or freeze it? Because someone will say, oh, you're a gardener. And you'll say, well, no, not really. Nothing's growing. Why not? I don't know. I went through all the motions, but I don't have anything to show for it. So if you're worshiping, if you're praying, if you're working really hard, you're working to your fingers to the bone to have a relationship with God, and you're not, then why not? How come? And I can't answer this. And Jim can't answer it either. Because we don't know you. We don't know your life. And more importantly, it's none of our business. It goes to the individual relationship with your Father, Jesus Christ. It goes to the individual's choice to choose. All your choices are forgiven. Because what you think is right, I might think is wrong. What I think is right, you might think it's wrong. And the only person that really can judge that is who? That's right, God.
Right.
Did you find anything? Because I've been talking an awful long time.
Well, I know. And you know, just the word, when I look up the word choose or choice, and I didn't do a cross-reference on it, but...
What were you doing over there?
I'm looking up words.
This is your show. You're supposed to participate.
Well, I needed a little bit of time.
Petting my dog and taking a nap isn't exactly handling business.
Well, I actually wasn't doing that. Here we are at Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, and we've said this before, but it helps us to see really this kind of typifies the whole Bible. Everything that Jesus was doing was about helping people to make choices. Everything that the Apostle Paul was doing was helping them to make choices. That's why his language was, here is this wonderful thing, of a wonderful experience of redemption that we have. So why in the world are you choosing to go back into the world and make wrong choices? Did you receive, to the Galatians, he said, did you receive Jesus by the works of the law, or was it by the hearing of faith? He's trying to give them choices because that's what they did. That's how things began. It was making good choices. So here we have over in Deuteronomy 30 and 19, and it says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life so that you and your children may live. And this is a central theme throughout the whole Bible. It's the exact reason why God said to Adam, he said, Adam, there's one thing I want to make sure of. You can eat of any tree that's in the garden. Just don't eat of the tree that's in the middle of the garden, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of that tree, in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. What's he saying to Adam? I'm going to give you a choice. Choose wisely. Guard your heart. The only thing he told Adam to do, Adam literally had all day to hang out with God. And obviously, we don't ever see Adam and Eve like struggling because they were just literally gagging because God, you know, was so boring. He wasn't funny. He was so out of touch with reality that Adam and Eve were struggling to be with him. No, on the contrary, God is nothing but apropos to every moment of life that there is. And so here we find one thing that God said to Adam. He said, keep the garden. It means guard it. It's the same one thing that every one of us has that we have now to choose, and that is guard your heart. Choose to guard your heart. So when I look at the scripture, that's exactly what it says. BJ, it says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life so that you and your children will live. Well, folks, it's in this simple choice that we make. And really, think about it. Choices are simple. We've coined a phrase here. They're just not easy, but they are simple. The part that's not easy is how connected to the world you are. Because if you're connected to your spirit, spiritual choices are as natural as breathing air. To choose on a regular basis all day long to say, I'm going to be about my spirit today. I'm going to pay attention to what God's doing on the inside today, is exactly how you begin to take one small step after another. And I'll say this as we're getting ready here for an email. One of my friends made this comment. He said, you know, what you're sharing and what you're talking about is very simple, and it gives a person the ability to have great expectancy for their life to change because it's just one small decision after another. BJ?
Yeah, we have an email here that's real interesting because the flavor and kind of the overall position of this email that we got about 2 minutes ago is about someone's own personal conflict and journey and epiphany, open up the eyes, however you want to say it.
Okay.
And seeing about the conviction, connection, and how there's a step to things. It says, having a spiritual life, learning now that there really is a spirit life that we can be connected to. Learning that we really already connected to Him when we got saved. It's just up to us to want to disconnect with the things of the world and connect with Him regularly. It's real. That's where we should live. It's not just something you see in a movie. The world seems to connect with spooky things and the paranormal that get scared and that. But they don't want to believe that there is a connection to be made with heaven. Thank you both for exposing religious doctrine, because you all are turning on the lights. The darkness is leaving each time I hear you, and you all teach the truth. It's like the Bible says, you are hammering and chipping away at the trash that religion has built. The radio show is great. There's nothing really wrong with me. School is wonderful. And Wednesday night Bible study is awesome. I implore people, do what you have to do to listen to these radio shows and get into these meetings. They truly are life-changing, and not just a bunch of scriptures you've heard for years. The meetings are 3D, bringing God to the front and making Him real, to be experienced. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I am very thankful. That comes from someone named Cheryl. We have another one here. It says, Jim and BJ. Okay, you're funny. My dog, Lucy, always looks around when Ranger barks. Now, there you go. Jim's homework, being more aware of God and talking with Him as I go about my day, now seeing grace, and I'm loving it. Stopped making it so hard. Great show tonight. This is from someone named Linda in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. We got another email that just came in 3 minutes ago. A spiritual life, to use the connection with God that Jesus came to reestablish. The connection was lost in the garden, and as Jesus walked the earth, He continually pointed people to God and demonstrated how to live with the connection intact. And this is from somebody named Chuck in Oklahoma. These are great email. I love emails.
Yes.
I wish we had a million of them. I really like people to email the show, and they all have one interesting thing. It's not the radio show. It's not your Wednesday night worship group at the library. It's not even the 3 meetings that you have locally in Bixby. All these things say the same thing. I've given up. I've changed direction, and how instantaneously things occur when they follow faith, hope, conviction, connection, bam. And also that people like Ranger barking.
Yes. You know, I will say this, and we've mentioned this before, but it's a great thought. If you've given your heart to Jesus, you could see it. You could say it like this. The moment you gave your heart to the Lord, instantly, it's as though the electrician came in and connected all the wires together. And you had a connection right there the moment you gave your heart to the Lord. The sad thing is, and this is what we've exposed over and over again, religion hasn't allowed you to continue to keep the lights on. They went on momentarily, and religion turns them off because, you know, that's just your honeymoon period with the Lord. You know, you're all excited, but, you know, you're going to have to come back down to reality where we all are, and we're broke, and we're miserable, and we're sick, and we don't ever get prayers answered, but you're going to come back down to this.
Yeah, who wants to be a part of that?
Well, I know that's exactly the point, is we haven't really encouraged, with our own testimonies, the baby Christians, so to speak, and their excitement to help them to go extremely fast.
Well, it's like what you said before we went on the show tonight. When we were just sitting around, you know, you came a little early to the ranch, and we were just sitting in here shooting the breeze like we always do. And, you know, I'm going to say this till the day I die. The very best of our conversations take place when the stupid microphones are turned off.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
In fact, last night on the phone. Oh, was an awesome conversation.
And that was just supposed to be a 5-minute conversation.
Yeah.
And we ended
40 minutes or something? I don't know.
Yeah, 44. I don't know. We never keep time. But yeah, when you hung up the phone, you said, wow, this was amazing.
Yeah.
And after we hung up the phone, I looked at Ranger and I said, you know what? I think Jim is liking this call.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ranger said, come on, you know, it's time to go look for coyotes to shoot. But, you know, the thing about all this is that what you said, you know, I only helped you so far. You were talking about me. And you said the place where I held my meetings only helped you a little bit. It was really about you. And you used to see me read the Bible all the time in that building, remember? Mm-hmm. Everybody would be standing and singing. Everybody would be holding hands and praying. And there was a lot of group things going on. And in the back of the room, there was the scruffy-looking cowboy doing what? With my head buried in a Bible. And what I was doing was I was comparing what I was hearing, comparing what you were saying and the other person was saying, and I was seeing what made sense to me and what connected and what didn't connect. And before I knew it, my prayers, well, you saw. You'd witness people being healed.
Yeah.
And they'd say, you know, well, they'd say, that was a prayer? You know, he didn't mention anything really nice. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd say, you know, he just said that he really doesn't like people and he thinks that it's ridiculous and I can't do much myself and my knee doesn't hurt anymore. Can you, like, you know, can we have a ruling here? can we have how is this working? And you'd say, well, it's about the connection with grace. You know, you'd say that cowboy's got a connection with grace. He gets it. He's connected. He understands.
Yes.
Well, you know, how to use his relationship with God.
Yeah, but what I attribute that to is because you didn't have...
Well, it's not because I'm a great guy.
Well, but I attribute it to is you didn't have any limiters. There was no limitation on you.
No.
And
no limitations.
Your whole way... Remember, folks, you can't ever forget this statement. How you do life is how you'll do faith.
I like that. Say that again.
How you do life is how you'll do faith. And so when I say this about BJ,
I like that.
He didn't have any limitations on his life ever.
No.
Remember you telling me how that everybody would say before you were saved, you'd be in a bar and they say, oh, don't let him drink.
Yeah, don't let him have anything. Well, I didn't drink.
Well, I know, but they'd say, don't give him anything.
Yeah, they'd literally say, see the cowboy in the corner.
Because you were crazy enough. Without anything, they don't want you to be on anything.
That's right. They'd say, see the cowboy in the corner. Don't talk to him unless he talks to you. Don't look at him unless he looks at you. You know, it was almost like, don't feed
the monster.
Yeah, don't feed the bears. Just take pictures of him in the park.
Yeah.
And then they'd say, well, what, does he have a drinking problem? They'd say, no, he doesn't drink. That's the point.
Yeah.
We don't want him to start drinking because he's capable of doing anything stone cold sober.
Right.
We don't want him to start drinking because it's bad enough as it is.
Right. So if you're not
I always took great pride in that, by the way.
Well, but there's a point here. If you're not inhibited, if your mind isn't used to putting limitations on, and your thought
no boundaries,
and your thought process is always, I'm going to take this to the limit. I remember you telling the story of you and Ranger in the car, and when the Lord was speaking to you the first few times while you were learning that it was the Lord, you finally looked at her and said, well, if we're going to do this, we're all in. Let's go.
Exactly.
And that right there, my friends, is how someone did life without God, add God, and that's one of the great engines to make you go fast and go far.
Yeah.
Now, think of how many people have allowed so much drama to become the reason why they don't go anywhere at all. And all they need is an encouraging thought from others that are experiencing the same nothing to make them feel like it's okay because at least they're here. At least they're going somewhere. At least they're a part of the group. And that's something that we've hammered home so that people can begin to protect their heart.
Well, that's the difference between a being a victim and not being a victim. That's the difference between going your own way and standing in line just as one of the group. because most people do not want to have to make decisions. They don't want to be a boss. They don't want to be a supervisor. They don't want to be held accountable or responsible. They just want to do their job, get their money, come home, and they don't want to live on the edge. They don't want to gamble. They don't want any risk. They've accepted the way things are, and they live accordingly. Well, religion loves that type of mindset because that screams complacency.
Right.
That shouts from the rooftops, I'm not expecting anything different. I don't want things to change. I like things exactly the way they are. Well, that mindset, that attitude is what? There's nothing about that that says I want to see things move. I want to see things grow. I want things see things develop. I want change. I want something better. I want something bigger, better, faster, stronger, that has more sugar in it better.
Right.
Because what they've just said is, this is okay. There's nothing in Scripture that says this is okay.
Right.
There isn't anything in Scripture that says just sit in a chair and do nothing.
Right. In fact, on the contrary, I just pulled up a scripture here in Joshua chapter 1. I want you to see this because of what the Lord was saying to him. And he was going to be a new leader here taking over for Moses. And the Lord encouraged him, saying, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous." Now, what's the strength and courage for? It's for action. I remember a story, and this will help you. I remember a story. One of my friends, David Horton, a good friend of mine, he was asking Brother Hagin a question one time. Back in the heyday, you know, right at the very beginning of healing school, it was back in 1979, the first year of healing school. And Brother Hagin had been off on a crusade. David went and picked him up from the airport. And on the way back, Brother Hagin asked the question, "How's healing school?" And David responded, "Well, it's okay, you know, but we're hearing that there's a report of many healings taking place in so-and-so's ministry out in the Northeast." And he went on to say, "And they've had quite a revival of healing. So we've been praying for that to happen here." And this is what Brother Hagin said. He said, "Well, you can't get it that way." And my friend David, when he said, "What?" and he looked at Brother Hagin, the car almost went off the road because it shocked him. And he turned to look at him, and the wheel turned as he turned. And he said, "What?" And Brother Hagin said, "You can't get it that way." And so David, you know, just kind of said real loud, "Well, how the heck do you get it?" And Brother Hagin looked at him and said, "It takes bold actions." Which is what? Conviction. And what have we been talking about today? Bold actions. Conviction is what? It's what produces connection. It's what causes power to flow. Well, this is why the Lord said this. He said, "Be strong and courageous, that you may observe," notice what he's saying, "that you may observe to do according to all that the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." And then the last verse is this: "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success."
Progress.
It's all about progress. That's why he was saying,
productivity.
Be strong.
Things have got to be changing.
Yes, be courageous, because this word will work with boldness. Okay, another story that comes from that. The Acts chapter 4. The disciples were having success, and they came to their own people. Their own company, it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 29 to 31. And it says, they told them of what was taking place, that they had just been persecuted for raising up a cripple man. And this is what they prayed: "Lord, grant unto us with all boldness we would preach your word, so that signs and wonders and miracles would be wrought in the name of Jesus. Progress.
Yeah.
And again.
It's real abrupt, harsh, and absolute, and a 180 degree difference. It's like you're going left, and all of a sudden, instantly, you're going to the right.
But it has to be, because going to the left, you're not getting anything.
Right.
So going to the right is where you do get things.
Yeah.
It has to be that difference. It can't be just 45 degree turns. It has to be 180 degrees.
Yeah, you're right.
You can't make a little turn. It's all the way. And this is what I want to stress. The greater your conviction, the more instantaneous the connection.
Yeah.
The more powerful the connection. And this is where, oh boy, I trust we're doing justice to this, but this is where the Bible is full of inspirations. And this is the sole reason, listen closely to this, the sole reason why Jesus came to show everybody that you could have a connection with God Himself, where you could have a relationship with God as your Father, because it was supposed to be an ongoing, every minute of the day, constant buzz, like those electrical wires over your house, where you live like Adam and Eve in a normal, regular, I'm listening to God, fellowshipping with Him, walking around with Him, spending time with Him. Man, you haven't been doing a whole lot of going out with the gang anymore. Well, I've been hanging out at home. Well, who are you hanging out with? Well, you wouldn't believe it if I told you. Well, who is it? Well, I've been hanging out with God. Oh, come on. Come on. Serious? Well, yeah. Well, why do you think I don't have a limp anymore? Why do you think my ears are perfect and I don't have to wear hearing aids anymore? Why do you think that I'm using this right hand when I had a stroke in it? Yeah, I haven't seen you, you know, use that hand before. What's happened? Well, I've been hanging out with God. Did you do anything? Not really. Just hanging out.
That's all Adam and Eve did.
That's all we're supposed to have
because
to do.
Because it says, don't worry about what you eat, it's where you live, about your clothes, because if I take care of nature, if I take care of the birds and the bees and the lilies of the field, why would I not take care of somebody made in my own image?
Isn't that the reason why God rested on the seventh day? To help us to realize that He's done all the work. So come on, rest with me. Enjoy life with me.
And I think now this is the time to, after tonight's broadcast, when people listen to it, and they listen to it maybe once or twice more just to really absorb it and to have an opportunity to think about everything. Now, folks, do you see where you bring in this statement out of Scripture? You will do greater works than me. When Jesus made that statement, it wasn't water into wine. It wasn't one loaf of bread into thousands of loaves of bread. What He meant was, you will do greater works than me. Because back in the time of Jesus, works meant what? Effort. It meant results. You would work through the day. You would work to prepare a meal. You would work your fields. You would work at catching fish. You would work at tending the olive trees. You would work at tending the fruit trees. You worked. It meant work meant productivity,
yes.
Action,
yeah.
The events of the day. And so if you apply what that statement meant in the time of Jesus, what He was saying is, you will do greater works than me. What He meant was, in the times to come, in the development of civilization and the distractions and the creations of the flesh that man will create, you will have to focus. You will have to do things that I didn't have to do to have a connection with Christ. You're going to have choices and decisions, and you're going to have to put effort out to have a spiritual connection that I don't. You will do greater works than me. It would have been a lot easier if He would have said, it's going to be a lot harder for you than it is for me. Because
yep.
That's what that means.
Yeah.
And that would have been something that someone would have said, okay, because Jesus wasn't distracted. Jesus didn't, he wasn't even connected to his time. He didn't have a job. All he did was travel around, and he walked, and he had friends that went with him. Jesus was a vagabond and a bum in his own time because he held no position. He had no possessions. Why? Because he knew that possessions and position and responsibilities would suck you into everyday life and close the door on his connection with his own Father. You will do greater works than me. You will have decisions to make, and you will have choices to overcome that I do not. You will do greater works than me.
I like that. I do. I've got a great scripture that'll work with that and also give me an opportunity to pray for the folks tonight. So listen to this scripture here. It's in Matthew 11, verse 28, through the end of the chapter, verse 30. And we've shared this before, but I believe it really fits wonderfully right here. It says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Well, then come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Tonight, I want to just take a moment and pray with you. And I believe the Lord has something really wonderful for every single one that's listening tonight. And I know he's going to answer my prayer. And you're going to sense in your heart that there are some really great, wonderful days ahead in your life and with your love and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you tonight for everyone that's listened on this program, for their attention, which is basically saying, Lord, they're right there with you right now. And I pray for everyone that you, Father God, would show yourself real to them. Open their eyes. Help them to experience your love and your tender care. And let them see grace everywhere. Father, this is an exciting day we're in. While things get dark all around us, the light shines brighter and brighter. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for bright days that are ahead, for great moments and times spent with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I like that. That was good. You know, folks, we've got a lot of interesting things happening on the show if you've just logged on, because people are always logging on at different times during the broadcast. And I want to remind everybody one more time that the clocks do change here in the state of Oklahoma, in the central part of the United States of America, on November 4th. Our next live broadcast will be next. Jim, you are going to be here, right? You're not traveling or anything?
Which now?
Tuesday, November 6th, you'll be in town?
I'll be in town, yes.
Okay, and we will be starting what would be an hour earlier, because they're going to turn the clocks back on us next weekend. So what is 8 o'clock tonight would actually be 7 o'clock for you, for like Fred in Germany, or the people in South America, or Canada, Mexico, Japan, Argentina, Manchester, England, all the places that that Jim travels to pass the message of grace. Remember that the show, that the time changes here in the barn. It drops back an hour. So tonight will be the last of the daylight savings time, and next week will be 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Also, some of the exciting news that Jim mentioned in his prayer is that we do have an archives. If you go to the Listen to the Show page on the Abiding Presence, and you just go to that page and you scroll down to the bottom, the last thing you see, big blue pretty letters, Show Archive. Put your little cursor on it and it'll light up, and then you left click it, and all of a sudden you see all the shows. All 57 shows are now there for free to listen at your leisure. And tonight's show will actually be in the archive by next week. We're up to date and we will stay current. Also, in a couple of weeks, text messaging. Jim, that's going to be fun, isn't it?
It will be.
Yep. I know you're real excited because you'll have a big screen and we'll be able to read text messages. And I think we'll get a lot of text messages because I know a lot of people don't have the opportunity to email the show because they're using their internet connection and their computer to listen to the show. So they'll be able to use their cell phone to send text messages.
I think that's great.
And I think, are you pretty happy with the way we went tonight? Because I am.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this proved out to be a really great subject this morning, and I believe it's a real helpful subject even here tonight.
I do too, folks. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you, Thursday nights from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock, we have a show that's cookie cutter like Jim's show, but it's done by Shelley Love, and it's called Love's Final Word. So if you have some teenagers out there or college students that would like to hear the message of God and grace, we've got a show for you. It's got music, and it's a lot of fun, and it's Thursday nights called Love's Final Word from 8 until 9 o'clock. And, folks, we want you to take care of yourselves. Take care of your pets out there. We'll see you here next Tuesday night, November 6th. Remember, we'll be starting an hour earlier. Jim, I thought it went well.
Yeah, I did too.
Think your mom's listening tonight?
I know she is.
Okay, Ranger, say hi. And also, there's a dog named Lucy that's listening. Say hi to Lucy, Ranger. Good night, folks. We'll see you here next Tuesday night. Take care of yourselves.